Travel season is almost upon us. And with that, the question is, when you travel, where will you stay and why? Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. We're glad you can be part of the full story. And I know some of you are thinking, Ron, there's still snow on the ground. Bill just said there's snow in the forecast. And man, it's cold. How can you be thinking about travel and long weekends? Call me a cockeyed optimist, but spring is around the corner, and I know some of you have already booked. You know who you are. Some of you have already booked your spring and summer vacations or long weekends, your planners, right? So we were thinking, where are you going to stay? Look, a few years ago, it was easy. You went to a hotel, a motel, a resort, a B&B, maybe even you crashed at a friend's place. Nowadays, there are so many choices, including Airbnb and services like it. Are you going to use such a service and why? And what do your neighbors or communities think about it? Email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. You can send us your comments on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Full Story WSHU. And if you want to leave us a message, our number is 833-CALL-TFS. That's 833-225-5837. Now, we have a number of guests with us today, but in our first segment, we're going to talk with two. Jenny Kozlowski is executive director from the Connecticut Lodging Association, and Kristen Jarnigan is president and CEO of Discover Long Island. Jenny, Kristen, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, Kristen, welcome back. You were with us over the holidays talking about winter tourism on the island.
I was. Thank you so much for having me back. And it's been a very nice, mild winter, and we've been having a lot of fun on Long Island.
We're going to get to everything that we could do on the island, especially when it comes to where to stay. But Jenny, I'd like to start with you. But it is a question, though, for both of you. How's the hotel industry doing in Connecticut, and what effect have services such as Airbnb had on the overall industry?
So currently, our hotel hotel industry is doing very well. We've had a great fall. We've had a strong winter. And as your other guest outlined, the warm weather has kept people coming to Connecticut. It's a four-season destination. And because of the strong demand, we have over 13 hotels currently in the pipeline to be constructed. We've had a new hotel open 4 weeks ago, the Blake Hotel in downtown New Haven. And we have new hotels coming online throughout the state. And Airbnb is a type of accommodation or short-term rental that some of the people visiting Connecticut are very interested in staying at. So I think it supplements what we already offer.
So I just want to be clear. You said 13 new hotels are being built in the state as we speak.
As we speak. Are they in various parts of the pipeline? So they're either going under construction, just opened, or getting the approval process for zoning and planning. So by 2020, we will have 40 new hotels online in the state of Connecticut.
I know a number of years ago when Airbnb was first getting going, or services like that, some people were saying, you know, this is going to kill the hotel industry. But it doesn't sound like it from what you're saying.
No, consumer confidence is very high. People have pent-up demand to travel, especially in the spring, summer, and fall. With the economy doing well, people will travel, and they will stay longer.
Kristen, thanks for being patient. Same question, but specifically for the island.
Sure. So we're doing quite well, similar to Connecticut, in our growth. We are year over year, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4% growth. In fact, last year was the best year we've had for tourism on Long Island in the past 16 years. So we're doing well. There's great demand. Our product, and we are growing as far as inventory slightly, certainly not on the same pace as Connecticut. It's much more difficult to get things built and developed on Long Island because we do have a finite amount of land and resources, and particularly in the areas where we have the highest demand, such as the Hamptons, the famed Hamptons, and even Fire Island. So housing and short-term rentals have long been a part of our tourism story here on Long Island prior to even being online available. So with the limited inventory that we have, it's really a critical asset that we utilize when we bring people to our destination.
Now, when you say what used to be in the past, we're going back now, let's just say 10, 20 years. So if you had a home and if you were traveling for the summer, and maybe let's say you were going to another part of the country or traveling overseas, maybe you would rent out that home to a friend or to people you know who wanted to be in your area, right?
That's exactly it. I mean, second homes are a huge component of our makeup and real estate here on Long Island. And it's always been that way. People come for the summers. And it's just because we simply have a lack of hotel inventory. And they do supplement the inventory that we have. It's just a different kind of experience. I mean, some people love our hotels, which are amazing and have, you know, safety built in and restaurants and housekeeping and all of those in-house amenities. And some people have different needs. They're families with, you know, multi-generational or groups of friends that need more space. And it's great to be able to accommodate all of the guests that want to visit our destination.
What about the effect on planning? I mean, town officials, obviously, when they're setting up plans for the futures, they take the traffic and so on, what allowing hotels to set up shop. If industries such as Airbnb and others come into a community, how is that taken into account?
Yeah, I'll just start that, and then I'll let my colleagues step in. But it is a delicate balance for the communities and the governances and the residences, because it's important to be able to welcome visitors that come in. You know, tourism on Long Island is a $5.9 billion industry, with 30%, the largest amount of those revenues, being food and beverage, not really hotel revenues. So when people come to visit, they're out at our restaurants, and they're supporting our retail and our small businesses. So it's really important to welcome people, but really maintain the balance and the character and the charm and the integrity of our communities at the same time. So it's evolving like any kind of other disruptive industry. And it's important that we make sure that moving forward, you know, we have a level playing field for the hotel industry, that, you know, the same regulations and the same taxes are imposed on these kinds of businesses to make sure it's a fair industry.
Jenny, how do you keep that balance here in Connecticut?
Sure. And I think one of the things that Airbnb has done in Connecticut is they entered a voluntary agreement with the state of Connecticut to collect the hotel tax. So I think that puts folks on a more level playing field. And using a service like Airbnb, where there is some sort of vetting process in terms of who is staying in these various locations, helps reassure their neighbors that people do know who is next door. There's a way to contact the rental party. And I think one of the things that I would encourage folks who do use or rent on a short-term rental is remember you are in someone's neighborhood and you are in someone's house. So use the same courtesy that you would want in your own home. And if we continue to remind people that this is a neighborhood, and that they're expected to behave like they are in their own neighborhood. And I think that also helps get the message out. I think one of the concerns that we have is that putting all short-term rentals all in the same bucket as Airbnb or vacation rental by owner might not necessarily be true. There's still folks who just rent on word of mouth and they sell shares, and there is a lot of disruption in the neighborhood. So we certainly do not encourage that. We work with our local zoning officials to make sure that zoning applies, that it is applied equally across all communities. And it's a really educational process. To my colleague's point, home rental's been going on for years. It's just more organized now, and there are ways the consumers are obviously demanding it. So we have to be careful what we do in terms of regulations, that we do not stop people from coming to visit our communities because they can't find accommodation that meets their needs. So it's restaurant, it's attractions, it's events, and what they do when they come here. So we want to make sure that we do roll out the welcome mat for all our visitors. And the international traveler is very important to Connecticut, and they are more likely to use Airbnb or short-term rental service. And that's very common in Europe as well.
Kristen, we only have a minute before we have to take a break, but, you know, it's What I'm hearing is kind of a different tact that, to be honest, I was expecting, because I had read some articles where some people said, you know, the hotel industry probably isn't that crazy about Airbnb and so on. But it sounds almost like a symbiotic relationship.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kristen. Please.
It's a delicate dance. I mean, you hear Connecticut saying that they have established a relationship with Airbnb to pay the same amount of taxes that hotels pay. We have not yet entered that relationship on Long Island yet, but I know discussions have occurred. So I think that as those types of, you know, regulations and abound to make it a fair playing field, you'll see some of those fears dissipate.
And I think bad news tends to get more attention than good news. And I think that, again, it's our job to educate the consumer and educate our community that this is a business that's not going to go away, and better to work together than try to work against one another, because then everyone loses.
Well, I'm glad you're here today to give us a little bit of an education. That's Ginny Kozlowski. She's the executive director from the Connecticut Lodging Association. And joining us now is Liz DeBold-Fusco, Northeast spokesperson for Airbnb. Liz, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
How's business? Let me just, it's a simple question. How's business in Connecticut and Long Island?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. We actually, not too long ago, I guess at the beginning of January, released our 2018 economic impact report for both Connecticut and Long Island. On Connecticut, we now have nearly 4,000 hosts who welcomed 170,000 guests in 2018. And on Long Island, we have, I believe it is, almost 4,000 hosts as well, and they welcomed close to 140,000 guests. But for us, what really stands out in both of those reports is the amount of money that local hosts made. So on Long Island, it's about $47 million.
I'm sorry, Liz, you broke up there for just 1 second. Give us those numbers again about how much money the hosts made in Connecticut. We got $47 million for the island, and how much for Connecticut?
Yes. $35 million in Connecticut, and again, that's money that went into local residents' pockets by sharing their home for a few nights a month. One thing that we actually can't measure that I think is also a key part of the growth of Airbnb in both Connecticut and on Long Island is the benefit to small businesses, which I think my co-guests were speaking about before I joined the program. What Airbnb has done by allowing people to share their home to make a little extra money is also bringing tourism and the tourism economy out into communities that may not have benefited from the tourism past. And as a result, small businesses are able to benefit from the new guests who are becoming new customers. And that has an immeasurable economic benefit. And on top of that, local governments are also benefited as well. In Connecticut, it was mentioned, we have a very productive tax agreement. We have been collecting remitting taxes on behalf of our hosts since 2016. We've, I believe, in that time, delivered $5.2 million in tax revenue. And we are hoping to do the same in New York as well. We're supporting statewide legislation that would give us the ability to collect and remit taxes statewide. And also, I believe it was mentioned that we have been in discussions with both Nassau and Suffolk County to reach county-level tax agreements that would allow us to collect or remit county taxes. So long story short, Airbnb is growing in both Connecticut and on Long Island. And that is creating countless benefits for local residents, for small businesses, and for local governments.
But just to clarify, right now out on the island, the hosts do not have to collect tax?
No, hosts do have to pay taxes. What we're looking to do is have the ability to step in and collect and remit those taxes on behalf of our hosts. Taxes are complicated, which, I think as we're getting into tax season right now, no one would argue with. And certainly the taxes that our hosts have to pay are increasingly complicated because they're the same hosts that hotels would have to pay. We want the ability, as we have done right now in 28 counties across New York and in over 500 municipalities all around the world, to step in and be able to collect and remit those taxes on behalf of our hosts. simplifying the process for them and ensuring that the county is able to benefit from the additional tax revenue. So far, again, in New York, we've reached similar agreements with 28 counties. I believe the most recent was Orange County in the Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. And we've actually collected and remitted nearly $3 million in tax revenue across the counties in that time. This has been a really beneficial, these have been beneficial agreements all over the state. And again, hit on the fact that home sharing is a win-win for everyone. And we want to make sure that that continues to be the case.
Jenny Kozlowski, you guys could jump in anytime. Kristen, anytime you'd like.
To just point out, not only in Connecticut do they collect the occupancy tax, but those hosts also pay income tax on the money that's generated through the rental of their home. So there's two different taxes that benefit a county, a state, or even their federal income taxes as well.
Kristen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and it's great. I mean, as you can hear, it's definitely a positive story for Long Island. The taxes are not being, you know, remitted and collected by Airbnb yet, but we think that's going to happen. And it's such an important industry. Tourism is such a critical industry for Long Island. Last year, tourism generated $722 million in local and state tax revenues, and that, you know, that's all for our residents and keeping our taxes lower. It's just important, I think, to remember that. You know, from the hotel industry, I think some of the concerns you voiced earlier are just ensuring that there is a level playing field and that every time new regulations are imposed or applied to hotels, it makes it more difficult for our industry, whether you're talking about, you know, background checks or ADA or all of these other, you know, federal and state level regulations. It does make it more difficult for us to compete. But I do think, to the point of my colleagues, it's we need to welcome people. There's so many different facets of tourism, whether people stay at a hotel or at a rental or with their friends and families or even our staycationers on Long Island. Tourism is a multifaceted industry, and we welcome all of our visitors.
I want to bring in Jim Morrison. Jim lives over on the North Fork in Greenport. It's a beautiful town if you've ever been there, and it's over on the East End. Jim, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You don't rent out your home, right, for Airbnb, but you have used the service.
Yeah, I used it actually on Friday. I visited Philadelphia and stayed at an owner-occupied home, and it was wonderful.
Just out of curiosity, why do you use it but don't actually rent out your place?
Our house is very lived in. We have three boys. We have cats. We're a loud family. I mean, we're well behaved, but it's just a lot of activity going on here at the house. So it's really not set up to rent out a room here.
You know. Jim, thank you for being so honest. what's the situation like in Greenport? I know there was a bit of controversy concerning Airbnb there, and some people complaining.
Yeah, well, they were going back and forth at the town village. I know as of last November, the village set up a new regulation on the short-term rentals. And it's the new code says that a stay of less than 14 days is prohibited unless the space is owner-occupied or there's a long-term tenant for at least one-year lease agreement. Owners of two-family homes are exempt from the 14-day minimum stay, you know, as long as it's owner-occupied.
But this isn't saying that Airbnb is not welcome here or services like that. It's simply saying the town wants to have some say in how they operate.
Yeah, it almost seems like it was like a mutual agreement. I'm sure there are some aspects both parties don't agree on or agree with, but it seems like a happy medium, and it's calmed down a little bit, you know, because we've had both sides of it. We've had, like, you know, people that are quiet, go about their business, and then we had some people with the, you know, the free-for-all mentality. Come visit our town. So.
That's pretty much when you travel anywhere nowadays. It's what it's
like. That is
like.
True.
Liz, is that the new model that you're looking at for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I would say just broadly is that, you know, Airbnb supports regulation. Again, I mentioned before the tax agreements and other partnerships we've forged with over 500 governments worldwide to create regulatory frameworks. What's the key for us is that regulations do two things. First is address local concerns, and the second is ensure that our local hosts and small businesses can continue to benefit from home sharing as they have done and has been so instrumental in the lives of so many people across the tri-state area and far beyond. So yes, absolutely. We certainly support regulations. We're, as I mentioned before, championing statewide regulations at the moment. For the past 3 years, we've supported legislation in Albany that would create a broad regulatory framework, restrictive as well, that we think would achieve that balance of addressing local concerns as well as protecting our hosts. One other thing I would say is that, you know, we have a very stringent trust and safety, series of trust and safety tools that are in place on our platform already to provide peace of mind to neighbors, like Jim had described. In addition, we also have a neighbor portal so that if there are any complaints about an Airbnb listing nearby, as a neighbor, you can certainly access that portal and submit a complaint. We take those very seriously. We take the vision for our community, one in which hosts are able to benefit from sharing their home, guests can benefit from traveling, and neighbors can, you know, sleep easy knowing that it's happening next door, very seriously. And I would just remind everyone that that's available as well.
Jim, I do have a question. I was reading beforehand about this, and obviously the New York Times did a story about Airbnb recently and about how some people buy places and then they just rent out the apartments, which I know Airbnb does not condone. Do you find out on the East End that there are some who are simply buying homes nowadays and using it for rentals? Maybe not just for Airbnb, but just overall, and that's adding to some of the issues out there?
Yes, it is, but I'm sure it's few and far between. I mean, particularly there was a house unit a few units down from me, and, you know, I don't ever remember seeing the owners. And they ran a really nice Airbnb. You know, the reviews were ecstatic, you know. You know, there's always this picture of this nice couple on there and, you know, people that we've never seen. And, you know, but there are some tenants that were loud and, you know, they both got good reviews on both ends. I'm like, those people were so loud.
Liz, just out of curiosity, so if there are loud tenants such as that, I mean, what is it that Airbnb can do about something like that?
Yeah, again, that's where our neighbor portal comes in. We strongly encourage any neighbors to access our neighbor portal and submit a complaint if there are concerns. I would be happy to send along the link to the neighbor portal if you guys would want to tweet it out and help get it out.
Sure.
Very easy through our website as well. You know, we take that very seriously. And I would say that for the most part, negative incidents are incredibly rare on our platform. But that said, when they do occur, we want to get it right and make sure that we are taking action where appropriate. That's very important to us.
We will definitely put that up on our Twitter feed. Ginny, I know you only have a few more minutes with us. How do you see this evolving in Connecticut in the next few years?
I think we will see some more standardized regulation and bring in the other short-term rental organizations that are out there. Airbnb probably represents about 70% of the short-term market, but there's still another 30 that aren't in compliance with our tax regulation and other municipal regulations. So we'd like to see everybody fall under the same umbrella and be treated the same way. And again, it will be a partnership because we will all benefit.
And where in Connecticut do you find most of this activity taking place? Are there particular regions?
Well, I'm sure Liz has the numbers, but we are aware that New Haven, in particular, has a very strong Airbnb community. In some of our other underserved areas that don't have hotels, particularly along the shoreline in the summer, and up in Litchfield Hills, some of our quieter areas that are more rural as opposed to more commercially developed. Hmm. And you can go on any of the portals and look and see based on availability how inventory changes based on the season, based on the weekend, particularly around college graduation time. You'll see a lot more listings in some of our college towns.
See, hearing that about New Haven, I'm assuming a lot of that has to do with Yale, but I just from my experience in the past, I would have thought that Mystic would have been up near the top.
again, it has to be based on the inventory of homes that you have available, whereas New Haven has a higher density of homes in New Haven, whereas Mystic, it's many more single-family homes, not apartments, so the available inventory is less in some of those locations. Stonington, I believe, does fairly well. Middlesex County has a higher rate for their Airbnb listings because people rent out a whole home as opposed to renting out just the bedroom or two bedrooms.
Kristen, do you find the same out on the island?
Absolutely. I think what she was saying, what Jenny was saying about standardized regulations are really going, the more that those happen from a state level, the more we're going to see growth in partnerships and structural partnerships. But for us, it's a lot of it is just the demand for Long Island just is greater than the inventory, and that's just the reality. And so when we have major events like the U.S. Golf Association, and this year we have the PGA Championship, World Pride is coming for the first time to the United States, to New York City, and we have a tremendous amount of activations leading up to that on Long Island as we are very LGBTQ-friendly. So when that happens, when you have this incredible influx of visitors from all over the world, they have to stay someplace, right? And we want to welcome them here. So we tend to see it more around major events and seasons as opposed to just specific areas. But it's wonderful because when, you know, you don't think about it, we were talking earlier about small businesses. When visitors come and stay at a home, the first thing they do is they go to the local grocery store and they stock up. And so the local grocery stores are involved in this. It's not just, you know, your typical tourism industry. And you get a lot of overflow with the hotels, too. The hotels all benefit from these great events and these wonderful seasons, and they're oftentimes sold out. So the rental houses are just an overflow.
I know you mentioned the PGA. I happen to know that it's coming to Bethpage, and I have friends who have they've booked many, many rooms already, way in advance.
Exactly. It's hard to get a room around those events, and people can either stay in New York City if Long Island is sold out, they stay in New York City and they commute, or they look for other alternative options.
Jenny or Liz, I know someone wanted to jump in.
One more thing, just to clarify. The short-term rental market isn't all vacation travelers. We have a large influx of people who come in around Yale New Haven Hospital that are travel nurses or travel healthcare professionals that come in for three-month contracts, or they're here to do research projects at different universities. So it's just not vacation. So there are professionals who are using Airbnb for a three-month assignment or a 60-day assignment. So there's a real mix, and this gives people the opportunity to really experience a community by staying in someone's home.
And same thing, I have family members who have used Airbnb for weekly rentals when traveling for business, and actually that comes down from the company headquarters to save some money. Jim, I know where you are. Greenport, as I said before, which is just, that whole area to me is just stunningly beautiful. Have you seen benefits from increased tourism in your region, or do you think at times that it's somewhat overwhelming?
I think there can be both on that part. You know, we could definitely, like described before, it can do very well for the businesses. You know, that can definitely help. But yeah, I do see that happening. You know, it's definitely people do go down to the local grocery store. They frequent the bars and stuff, and money is spent here. I definitely seen like a growth, you know, more so than ever.
Which obviously helps many of the businesses there. And I know being in Greenport, you do have B&Bs and so on, and some inns, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's quite a few bed and breakfasts, a couple hotels right in town.
And so this just is what Liz was saying before and what Kristen was saying before, it's an added attraction and gives people who are traveling another option.
Sure.
Any downsides from your point of view?
Like I said, it's more so the people who are out of control. I mean, especially in my area, I'm pretty close to town. I'm walking distance to town, so I do see a lot of foot traffic. You know, we've had a number of, you know, you get the limo buses coming to visit the vineyards, and, you know, you get the bridesmaids and the dude bros, you know, partying up till 2 in the morning.
I'm sorry, dude bros?
young party guys.
Okay, that one I didn't know.
No, I've seen that on a number of occasions. Those are the types that get a little out of control. I've seen flipped over shopping carts, you know, people singing hit songs at 2 in the morning. I don't know, somebody was singing "This Is My Fight" song one time, and I had to tell them to keep it down. But, you know, you get into an area where, if you know, you got to keep going out on your deck and yelling people to keep it down. You got to contact the owners. You become sort of, you know, a property manager, you know, which is what I try to stay away from.
Liz, this is just what you and I were talking about a few minutes ago. You were saying you have something on your site now, right, where, well, you know what, people are rowdy. They can get reported.
That's
yeah,
true.
Our neighbor
I
pool.
Like that idea.
Absolutely. I mean, we, again, encourage people to share specific concerns they might have about a listing. That is, you know, very important to us. And that's just part of the suite of trust and safety tools that we provide in order to prevent negative incidents, from running background checks and providing free smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to our hosts. We offer insurance and a $1 million host guarantee. All that to say that we take trust and safety on our platform very seriously, and certainly want to know about a negative incident when it happens.
Just out of curiosity, do you ever look at a region and area where someone says, you know what, maybe I have a home that could be on Airbnb, and do you look at the region and say, you know what, this appears to be too, it's not for us, and we're not going to accept you?
Regarding
if someone wants to put their
home,
yeah, if someone wants to list their home, do you ever actually say no? We think we may run into community opposition.
Well, you know, we've worked with communities to establish, again, as I mentioned, we support regulations. We've worked with communities to put in place regulatory frameworks when there are concerns. But I would say that for the most part, that is incredibly rare that would be, you know, such a serious issue where that would happen. You know, it's important to explain who our community is. You know, they are members of their community. They are sharing their home a few nights a month, oftentimes in order to afford their home. In New York, 77% of our host community say that they share their home to afford their home. And actually, a lot of the listings, I think specifically on Long Island, we were talking about the B&Bs and inns that are so popular out on the East End. They actually list their rooms on Airbnb as well. We've recently unveiled a suite of tools specifically designed for B&B and inn and boutique hotel operators, so that they can benefit from the eyes that our platform gets and bring their business into the, you know, the 21st century, if you will. So this is who our community is. They're, you know, very conscientious, and that's not to say that as Jim is describing, that negative incidents don't happen. They certainly do. But we feel that we, you know, through partnership with communities as well as the tools that we offer, we, you know, can very effectively address those when they occur.
Kristen Jarnigan is still with us, the president and CEO of Discover Long Island. Kristen, I want to go back to something that you said a little bit earlier, which surprised me. And you said basically the demand right now is outstripping the supply. Why not build more hotels, more inns, and so on? I mean, there.
Well, it's a great question. There's a lot of reasons. Cost is a major factor. It's not easy to, you know, or inexpensive to get something built on Long Island, and plus there's a lot of growth restriction, and especially in our smaller towns and villages that want to maintain the character and charm of where they live. And so I loved hearing Jim's description earlier about tourism benefiting his community. Not everybody, you know, is able to connect those dots, but the important thing to remember is tourism exists for residents. We're not bringing visitors to Long Island because we just want to brag about Long Island and clog up the Long Island Expressway. We do it because of the tax revenues that they generate and the small, you know, the small businesses that they support in our communities. So it's really important that we try to get people to stay as long as they can overnight. The day tripper spends about $60 a day, but when you convince someone to stay overnight, that increases to $230. Mm. And for every $100 someone spends on accommodations, they'll spend $212 in the local community. So when we can get them to stay overnight at a hotel, at a bed and breakfast, or at a short-term rental, it really does lessen the infrastructure, the burden that people have on infrastructure, because the over-tourism on the East End is a real thing, and we don't want to, you know, impede the quality of life of our residents. Our residents are paramount for us. But what we try to do is make it a balance that supports the quality of life for our residents and still provides a warm and welcoming experience for our visitors.
That's such a tough mix, isn't it? I mean, every time I've traveled and you go to places, and sometimes, you know, if you discover something that no one else has found yet, they welcome you. And it's nice to get your dollars, but at some point, after others have also made that discovery, then it hits that point where they simply say, look, enough is enough, and thanks so much, but no.
Exactly, and I'm sure Jim can tell you, living in the community, that if we don't have the support of our community, then our entire it's a house of cards. Our entire industry falters, because then people are going to come to the destination and not have a warm, welcoming experience and not want to come back. So it is important to look at, we talk a lot right now about off-season travel, making sure we get people here in the winter. It has been a wonderful winter, and in the North Fork where Jim lives, we have something going on, Winterfest, right now. And we have an event called Thaw in the Hamptons, where we try to get people to come and experience our destination when it isn't such a burden to the residents. And we really try to work with them as far as ride sharing and working with the Long Island Railroad and getting people off the road. So it is so important that we listen and respond to our community to make sure that what we're doing benefits them.
Jim, I want to bring you back in, because what I didn't mention before is that you're an amateur film director, aren't you?
Yeah, I made a film based right here in Greenport, and I'm currently looking forward to shooting another film. And it is actually based on dealing with the tourists, not just Airbnb people, and, you know, finding a happy medium, not just picking on the tourists, but it's more so about a entitled local family living in a small town, kind of like mine.
You may be one of the more honest people that we've ever had on this program, and I'm enjoying speaking with you. Liz,
that's great.
Liz, what are the future plans for Airbnb?
I mean, our hope is that our, you know, local residents, the people who have been able to benefit from sharing their home, can continue to do so, that more local residents can join in being able to benefit from sharing their home, that we can continue to reach agreements, including on Long Island with Mass and Suffolk County, to ensure local tax collection. And more importantly, our biggest focus right now here in New York is to continue to support statewide legislation that is due to be introduced in Albany soon, that would provide for a statewide regulatory framework, and we believe would be key to our community of 60,000 hosts all across the state. That is, you know, very important to us. It's something we've been pushing for a while. So specifically in New York, those are the plans right now.
And that legislation is scheduled for this session?
Yes, it's due to be introduced soon. It's been introduced. It was introduced in the previous legislative session. Again, we've been supporting it now for 3 years. And that would provide for a number of regulations, a key one being that it would allow for statewide tax collection and remittance on behalf of our hosts, which we believe would generate $100 million in annual tax revenue from Airbnb alone. That would, as we've discussed, would apply to all of the platforms. So the total sum of additional tax revenue would be far more than that, but just from Airbnb alone, $100 million in annual tax revenue.
And Kristen, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'd like to talk a little bit about tourism out on the island. How do you envision Airbnb, hotels, and so on transitioning over the next few years? And like you said, right now, the demand is far outstripping the supply. What are your wishes, your dreams for the future?
Well, you know, again, I would love people to come and make it not so much of a day trip destination. As much as we love, you know, the visitors coming out from New York City, I definitely think there is so much to explore on Long Island, from all the way from tip to tip. As you were saying, the best part of visitation and travel is discovering those things that people have never experienced before and finding the hidden gems and meeting the locals. And the more we can get people to come out and stay for a week or 2 weeks, that's really when you get to immerse yourself into a community. And there's so much to offer with our vibrant downtowns. They're all being revitalized here on Long Island. So ultimately, I see great international visitation coming to Long Island with some of the international efforts that we're making in the UK. And we're in Germany as we speak. This week is the largest travel trade show in the world that we're participating in. Again, trying to work more with the state and local governances to make regulation that is seamless from end to end. Right now, it's kind of a patchwork of regulation. It can be very confusing for visitors. But we want to continue to strategically grow our tourism industry in a way that that releases some of the compression of the East End and our most popular destinations and spreads it all around the island and makes it really year-round. And that's going to add incredible revenue to the industry. One of my big, big dreams coming up in the future is a convention center on Long Island, which that's a whole other show.
Wow.
But it's something that's really being discussed for the first time ever as part of a development near the airport. And a convention center, I said to you earlier, we're $5.9 billion industry, and we're 90% leisure. So we're not getting, you know, hardly any of the business travel right now, and that would really open the floodgates for us moving forward.
So you're thinking about a convention center out by MacArthur?
Yeah, there's a convention center that's being discussed as part of a development at Ronkonkoma, which is it's right next to Long Island MacArthur Airport, and it's connected to the Long Island Railroad, which would take you, you know, all the convention goers would be equidistant from the heart of Manhattan to the Hamptons.
Liz, I'm sure that's welcoming news to your ears because it sounds like that would be a lot more business.
Absolutely. I mean, economic development on Long Island is good for everyone, and that would be wonderful. I think Chris was also mentioning a few events that are coming up as well that will be really big draws on Long Island. Our host community had a great experience out in Southampton with the U.S. Open. We talked about the PGA. We talked about World Pride in New York City. It's an exciting time for tourism in New York and especially on Long Island, and we're so thrilled to be a part of it.
Jim, with the minute or so that we have left, how do you see this developing for Greenport and for the East End and the North Fork over the next year or two?
Well, right now it remains to be seen. I mean, we now have new tools to deal with. We have the neighborhood portal in case we have any issues. There's the new law going into Greenport. You know, the summer, good weather's about to come up. So it's just right now we're in an area where it just remains to be seen.
I know when people say, you mean the summer's about to come up, and I told someone about this show a little bit earlier today, and they said, you understand it's freezing outside, and you're talking about tourism and traveling places, but it's going to be here before you know it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people do still come here in the wintertime, but it's more of an influx in the once the weather starts getting better,
Chris,
especially between like Memorial Day and Labor Day. It definitely picks up tremendously.
Kristen, I'm going to give you the last word. 5 years from now, we're going to be speaking, and you're going to be telling me about everything that's going on the island and how it's developed. What do you think it'll look like 5 years from now?
Well, thank you so much for the last word and for being on your show and for talking about Long Island tourism. I think Long Island is the greatest tourism product in the world. From end to end, it's beautiful. So I think in 5 years from now, we'll be talking about the success of our new convention center and how it's really solidified Long Island as a year-round destination that isn't just reliant on our summer season anymore and that has opened up all of the amazing downtowns on Long Island for people to explore from end to end.
Kristen Jarnagin is the president and the CEO of Discover Long Island. Liz DeBald-Fusco is the Northeast spokesperson for Airbnb, and Jim Morrison is a Greenport resident. He doesn't rent his place out for Airbnb, but he definitely uses it when he travels. Jim, Liz, Kristen, thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you. A little bit earlier in the program, we had Ginny Kozlowski on the show with us, and Ginny is the executive director from the Connecticut Lodging Association. Now, I just want to take one more moment to tell you about tomorrow's program. Again, we're going to be doing a show about CBD oil. There's a lot of interest in this nowadays, and if you go on the websites, there's a lot of confusing information both pro and con, and some say it works, some say it doesn't, and it will be affecting our agriculture industry in our region in the near future. So that is going to be what we'll be talking about tomorrow. Natalie Chafari produced today's program. Thank you, Natalie. That's it for our show today. Julie Ferdino is our engineer. Our associate producers are Christian Carter and Sabrina Garone. Carrie Frank is the digital editor, and Lopez is the producer. Terry Sheridan, our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to all of you for being part of The Full Story.